What is man? People have been asking that question for a mighty long time. We still don't know. So many irrational things are happening to mankind today at an alarming rate that serve as painful reminders of our capacity for barbaric behavior. Whether it's genetic flaws or drugs or just plain old meanness, the most sensible thing that I've heard lately about coping with the pressures of living today is a renewed emphasis on mental health. For those who still respect the Scriptures, there's hope in our New Testament that Betsy read. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. A sound mind. Now that's something valuable to which our religion can contribute. Even though this dates way back to the first century days, it indicates that there's never been a time when mental health comes easy. Our modern civilization is so complicated that the strain is just too much for some. I suspect that's more of an excuse than a reason. But either way, we're still left with the insanity of unprovoked deadly outburst that ends in senseless deaths that practicing our faith might have prevented had we practiced it. There's another side to this. If our times in many ways has increased the difficulty to achieve healthy-mindedness, in other ways, it has decreased them, especially if you look at it from a historical perspective. Thanks to progress, we're free from the superstitions that haunted our forebears, the mystery of the plagues, the demented dread of demons, the horrifying fear of hell, the terror of torture for heresy. As hard as it seems to have sanity today, never in history has it been easier to develop a sound mind. So wild, crazy behavior. Where is that coming from? Families giving their kids a poor self-image. Publicity. Power. Instant fame, probably all that and more that I can't even think of. But St. Paul's experience and his confidence in Christianity's contribution to healthy-mindedness is amazing. It's amazing when you think of all that this man had to endure because of his faith, but none of that made him a nut. He faced constant disappointment. If disappointment does it to us, nobody can match St. Paul. Constantly disappointed, the limitations of physical health, which is always hurtful to an active person. He was brutally beaten in public by his opponents. He knew nothing but poverty, long periods of jail time, and finally ended up as a martyr in Rome. When his greatest desire was to just take the gospel to Spain, to Europe. But through all that, and in spite of all that, he somehow was able to maintain a sound mind and high morale. So that his last word was one of an unembittered soul. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. What an undefeatable spirit. Something gave him the power to see it through. So might not his words to his friend Timothy also apply to us? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of powers and love and a sound mind. Now, I think it might probably strike somebody as unusual to hear a preacher preach on sanity from the pulpit. God give us more of it. And we expect to hear about morality when we go to church. We expect to hear about sin and righteousness. And granted, those are good preaching words. As mean as we are, they got a long future ahead of them. But they cloud the issue. Take the ambiguity of pride, for instance. When everything is me, myself, and I, is pride a sin, or is it a conceited egotist infected with an unbalanced mental condition? You see, it clouds it. Somebody suffering from too much YouTube, not enough church. Albert Einstein was held in scientific opinion as an equal among immortals like Newton and Galileo. Rightly so, rightly so. But how did that high self-esteem affect him? In his own words, many times I realize how my own achievements are built upon the labors of others, both living and dead, and how I long to give in return as much as I have received. Whew. Those are the words of a healthy man. To give back in return for what I have received. His heart is as big as his mind. When Jesus spoke of himself, notice the words he used, the terminology. He was the good shepherd, or the great physician. He saw himself as a healer. They that are whole need no physician. You don't need to go to the doctors if you're whole. But they that are sick do. Body, mind, spirit. All of that plays together. And Jesus had it. If our religion doesn't do anything for our character, then it isn't worth having. Perhaps the most feared disease today, if I could name the most feared disease that I don't want any part of, Alzheimer's. Man, I've seen what that's done to the mind of brilliant people. The loss of the mind terrifies us. We can break a leg or a nose, but you lose your mind. That's it. St. Paul believed our faith enhances our mental capacity. Let's look at it a little in more detail. When he mentioned the spirit of power, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. He's not referring to calculating political force. He's talking about inner spiritual power, real power. You can't see, but you know it's there. Having a healthy mind provides us with the interior resources to meet life's ambushes that can strike anybody at any time. The one thing that makes belief in God the hardest is when cruel things happen to innocent people. Nobody has ever laid that one to rest yet. When life just pounds us to pieces, it now naturally kicks up a spirit of fear and feelings of inadequacy to be able to stand up to life. And people respond to their inadequacies in different ways. Some try to boast their way around them. Others attempt to cover up their feelings of inferiority. Some blame others for their deficiency, especially if they make them look bad. And some revert to daydreaming themselves into an illusory world of make-believe. The most pathetic go on a shooting binge. It ends in self-destruction most of the time, taking as many as they can with them. The apostles' remedy is spiritual power, inner resources that comes from prayer and possibility thinking. Notice this apostle who prayed had the possibility thinking. He could be even in prison and tap into that. That was where he wrote, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul believed in self-sufficiency and wanted no part of victimhood. His religion made his only dependency a healthy one on God. Now we too come to church to pray. How important is it having a time when we open our lives to divine resources so that we can experience what the prophet talked about? They that wait on the Lord, and get this word, shall renew their strength. Who doesn't need to renew their strength? The church offers power that is renewable. If you have a little of it, you can deepen your reservoir. If you have none of it, you can meet the conditions to get it. For life being what it is and us being who we are, you're going to run into something bigger than you sooner or later. And there better be something on the inside to meet that challenge. Then what? And Paul continues, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. He advised the church at Corinth, this great line in chapter 14. He says, make love your aim. Aim for love. And that, more than anything, is what leads to a sound mind. It is the antidote for the rampages that we see over the hand that life has dealt us to play. He didn't say make bitterness your aim. That only leads to getting even with somebody. It's the ugliest sin there is. And lesser souls lash out in vengeance. Somebody's got to pay for my misery. Now that's a mental case. It's just not a crime. If ever a man deserved to be bitter, it was the Christ on Calvary. But life's unfairness only made him better. Suspended between two thieves, that's life. The best and the worst are nailed together. With no justice anywhere in sight. Truth on the scaffold, wrong on the throne. And yet it was that old rugged cross that swayed the future. And God holding the bandages over in the shadows, keeping watch over it all. When all God does is hold our bandages, how easy it is to walk through life accumulating stings. One after another, stung, stung. Nothing contributes more to an unsound mind. And there stands Paul and Jesus, two of the most unembittered souls who ever lived. How could they continue to be magnanimous in the face of such injustice? How can they continue to have such goodwill in spite of all the wrong heaped upon them? That has to come from a sound mind. Both believed that the church could augment it. And this church is blessed with an admirable record in that regard, having been around for almost 400 years, attempting the same. I like being a part of something like that. It's an uncontested truth, though. Bitterness imprisons life. Love releases it. Bitterness paralyzes the spirit. Love empowers it. Bitterness sours life. Love makes life worth living. Bitterness sickens the soul. Love heals it. Anybody who's lived a while knows that's so. Finally, Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. The Gospel of John has this unique phrase concerning Jesus when he made his enemies angry one day. He said, "Are you angry with me because I made a whole man healthy?" The word is the same as our word hygiene. Hygienic. Healthy. Jesus had a healthy mind that could blend opposites. He could pull a serpent and a dove together in the same sentence and talk about being sharp-minded and warm-hearted. That is the making of a sound mind. It won't be going loony on somebody. Now, religion has this about it. We've all seen religion in the extreme and how that can push somebody over the edge too. Control freaks, out of control, characterized by cynicism and disillusionment and feelings of entrapment and the guilties and despairing, allergic to sacrifice. All of those are diseases of the mind. And they either have no time or too much time for church. Imagine there's no heaven, as the song goes. That makes a burlesque of reality. Just imagine there's no heaven. Above us only sky. Nothing in life to live by. No meaning in the universe to live for. And no religion too. Even though it is the Christian faith that offers both purpose and hope. No religion. Imagine. I'm going to say this. I don't see how a soul can get a sound mind till it develops a religious faith. They go together, or they don't go at all. Whole persons are those who have learned to avoid aimlessness and make it their aim to leave the world better than they found it. God can do something with somebody like that. Look at Jesus. Look at Paul. You may be interested to know that it has been substantiated by scientific studies, although we don't need that. The Bible doesn't need science to back it up. However, I throw that out in case you're interested, that it has been substantiated by scientific studies that meaningful church involvement has been known to improve mental health. It makes individuals more law-abiding and productive and less destructive. Improved mental health benefits individuals and directly aids the communities where they live. Well, boy, Heidi, where y'all been? I mean, it took Science? 2,000 years to catch up with the Bible? I will post the survey results on our website with bibliography in case you want to check this out. Look at what we've done with God's creation today. If we're to have any semblance of a world worth living in tomorrow, if our homes are going to be worth living in, our schools worth attending, if out of the chaos comes a more decent world for those who will come after us, who will build that better day? It'll be somebody with a sound mind. I guarantee that. I know who it won't be. The skeptics, the resentful grievances, the discouraged fatalists, or the victimized or the vindictive, power-hungry reprobates who think only of themselves, never will it be them. If the world survives another decade or another century, it will fall to those of a sound mind like Jesus and Paul to make it happen. Now, I've lived long enough to know and to have seen many appalling tragedies befall people. People in church, people out of church, as well as some of my own, I might add. Some caused by others, most self-inflicted. Some by nature. Or just being at the wrong place at the wrong time. The luck of the draw. But I've also seen how deeply indebted we should be to the gift of religious faith. Even if somebody has only a little of it, by indirect contagion, just a little of it. These are the ones who develop the blessing of mental health. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves.